State Representative Noreen Hammond of Macomb. And, of course, the governor, as we talk, has just completed his State of the State speech, and we're into the analysis phase. First of all, what did you think of his package of various tax cuts? For instance, elimination of the proposal to eliminate the natural gas utility tax. Is that going to be a big savings for people and companies and manufacturers?
That's something that I want to look at a little closer. But as I was recalling my bills at the office and my bills other places, that to me does not seem to be very significant. And so I'm a little concerned there. It sounded kind of like a fluff piece, if you will. And we heard about some various tax credits, and while they may be good, I didn't really hear any substance of how we're going to actually address the crisis that we're in fiscally.
Well, as an example, the family tax credit, which would be up to $100 for a family of four per year, so it's about $2 a week.
Right.
And is that really going? Does that really help people that much?
And how that stimulates our economy simply baffles me. We don't have a 50-cent menu at McDonald's. We have a dollar menu at McDonald's. So two of the people in that family of four are not eating.
The governor talked, and again, this was not his budget address. We need to make that point. But he talked about a lot more stimulating jobs with, I think, types of construction programs. And that's all fine and well, but is it going to cost more borrowing? I mean, there probably aren't a lot of specifics at this point, but what do you think of his proposal, for instance, to upgrade water plants and sewer mains and things like that, which is a real need in a lot of communities, to be really honest.
And that those things are extremely important, and particularly in my district, it's hard to believe, but there are people that do not have an adequate sewer. They don't have potable water. So all of those things are very laudable. Again, that to me talks that would require another capital bill. I have some concerns because the three phases of the last capital bill that was passed 2 years ago, the third phase is yet to be implemented, so we could be facing some serious concerns on funding the last capital bill. So I think we're a little premature to be talking about how we're going to fund another capital bill. It's incumbent upon us to address our general revenue funds and how we are going to grow them.
He also talked kind of peripherally about upgrading classrooms. Again, not a lot of detail, but a lot of districts, school districts, certainly within your legislative district, are looking at advanced technology, like one-on-one where every student would have like a tablet computer and things, and they're doing this kind of on their own. Is the state trying to take a lead in this, do you think, with the governor's viewpoint?
I think that the governor is promoting technology, and again, that is always a good thing. And certainly, kids nowadays, they require technology in their classrooms. That's what they know outside of the classroom, and what they should be accustomed to in their learning process. Again, in my area, we have many challenges in our transportation funding. So our first priority is to get the kids to school. And many of my school districts are very challenged in that area.
He also talked a little bit about boosting the MAP program, which is assistance. It's essentially a grant program for people going to college. And that, again, certainly very laudable because college educations, as we both know, are getting fairly pricey. But in a general sense, you probably would support that kind of thing, but I think the question again becomes, where does the money come from for, say, expanding the MAP program? And some of the preliminary coverage, he apparently was going to try to get tens of millions of dollars for that program, so not a small increase.
No, not a small increase. As a matter of fact, this past year in our Higher Education Appropriations Committee, we did our appropriation in the budget for our MAP grant, and lo and behold, and unbeknownst to us, when the governor extended on his own the application period for 1 week, it caused a $25 million deficit in our MAP grant funding. So we had no choice but to do a supplemental appropriation for the students that were approved. Now, to increase the MAP grant, if we have the funding, and again, I think it's a big if, it is something that I could certainly support, provided that these funds were not made available to the for-profit proprietary schools. I think that is very important. If we are funding, private schools or our state colleges and universities, that's one thing. But to fund a for-profit proprietary is not acceptable, in my opinion.
What do you think of the governor's idea to form a pension working group, essentially? The two big issues in budget are Medicaid and pensions. And obviously, as the governor said, there have been some things made. I'm sure it was done with a lot of consideration toward the future. But is the pension working group, is that a serious effort to look at real solutions, or do you think it's kicking the can down the road at this point?
Well, I am hopeful that is a serious working group. It needs to be a serious working group. But that serious working group needs to include members of all of the affected pension groups. And I think that unless we are reaching out, and also that they are reaching out to the General Assembly and the administration as participants in our pensions, it is not going to have any credibility unless everyone is at the table.
Now, on the Illinois Public Radio broadcast, which we covered here and brought our listeners, Senator Kirk Diller from Hinsdale had kind of the Republican response. Obviously, he's not in the same house as you are. But
sure.
He was talking with Sean Crawford in Springfield that basically he didn't feel the governor addressed Medicaid. And he was saying, Senator Diller, that Medicaid needs to have something like $1 billion a year in cuts and that those can be made. And it's going to be a hard decision to cut people from the rolls and also cut some of the procedures that are covered. Do you think that will come up in the House, though? Do you think that these – I mean, obviously the governor did not address it, but Senator Dillard, a Republican, obviously feels that's one of the things that needs to be tackled. Do you agree with that, or do you think
– I don't think there's any question that that is a serious issue that we need to address. We want to keep in mind that when we are addressing our Medicaid funding problems, that we don't lose sight of the fact that who the program is for, and that is for our most fragile citizens and their needs. We passed reforms last year that, had they been implemented, we could have saved a considerable amount of money. So I'm hopeful that if we're going to move forward, that many of those criteria are implemented. It's we were told by the federal government, of course, that we couldn't change our eligibility requirements, and much of our reform did not change those requirements. Now, there are many, many states that have requested and received waivers from the federal government, and they have changed their eligibility. But I think we could start, certainly, by just verifying that the people that are receiving Medicaid in the state of Illinois are residents of the state of Illinois, and they are not residents of our surrounding states. We have folks in our offices that are on the bordering states, and they are they're fully aware that these folks do not live in the state of Illinois, but they may not ask for a proof of address.
Now, when you say reforms, are you saying, for my information and edification, did both houses essentially pass some sort of reform and the government vetoed them?
Exactly right. They have not been implemented, and we're concerned about that because we believe that there are a number of reforms that were included that, even though some of them were turned down by the federal government, there are a number that could be implemented without approval by the federal government.
Well, give me an example, if you would. Say one example.
Sure. And one example would be to require proof of residency within the state of Illinois. Another example would be we asked for verification of two pay stubs. Currently, only one pay stub is required for income verification. So a worker can call in sick for a week, take the reduced pay stub, and get free health care. So by requiring two pay stubs, we could get a better handle on an accurate verification of what the income is for that individual. So these are just our small steps. And also, I can tell you, our folks in the state of Illinois that receive Medicaid benefits oftentimes receive better treatment than many of our citizens that are carrying private insurance.
And Representative Hammond, is there anything you'd like to comment on or maybe something that struck you about the governor's speech today?
Well, I have to give the governor credit for his stand with veterans. He has been such a proponent for veterans and veterans programs, and I share that that fever with him. And he also does get around in the state of Illinois, and he does visit with people. My concern is that we have to get very serious about our finances. We cannot just ignore what's going on in the state of Illinois. It is desperate.
Duke's obviously more details will be coming up in about 3 weeks. Are you perhaps waiting more for that speech than this one, in a sense, because everyone's saying the budget is the big news, is the big story in Illinois?
And the budget is the big story, and if we can believe some of the news that we have heard in the last week about how desperate our budget, our fiscal condition is, it's probably even worse than we realize. So, yes, I think we'll be looking forward to what the governor has to say in his budget address.